This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, it's number 3,000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line, it may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Two Birds on a Bat from the patio studios and brought to you by our good friends at the Innovated Companies. That's InnovatedCompanies.com. Our good friend Randy Green. Had lunch with Randy yesterday, boys. Things are good in Innovated Companies world, and he's a tremendous guy. I wanted to remind everybody, he's got all four teams under one umbrella. We've got the construction team, heating and cooling, the electric team, and of course the plumbing team. 35 years experience, second generation craftsman. And a man of his word. That's InnovatedCompanies.com. Made the tour yesterday, folks. Went down to the stadium, hit patios, talked to our boys over there, the original party spot. I was telling them, do you remember when patios opened?
No, I don't.
I do. I mean, there used to be a hill there. It was awesome. I mean, it was that, basically, and Mike Shannon's, and then there were little bars around town. But, man, that was when that place opened, it was chaos.
Jim, the only question I have for you is how are you going to fill 46 minutes today when you have nothing to complain about?
There is nothing to complain about right now. Things are going well. What is there to complain about?
Well, what's no, are we
well,
here's
talk? The deal.
Going
here's
well?
A, let,
just well?
Well, here's the thing. Let's say this. You know, we talked about Harrison Bader and how amazing everything is and all this kind of stuff. Do you not feel like every night you're going to turn the TV on and Colton Wong is going to make an unbelievable defensive play?
Yeah. Yep.
Steve, you were a hell of a defender.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, you were.
No, I could hit. The glove was like a spatula.
Well, then you lied to all the kids, because when we were working with the kids, you told them how good you were defensively.
No, so. I sold. There's a difference. I didn't lie. I
all right.
sold them.
Well, then
that.
You know what, then? I was going to ask you the question, but let's go ahead and not wait any longer. And on the M4byYachty.com hotline, let's bring in a guy that was a great defender.
He's got himself
a couple gold gloves,
yeah.
I believe. Benji Molina, what's going on, pal?
What's going on, guys? You guys okay over there? I'm doing good here, man.
We're rolling here. So first question of the day has got to be about Colton Wong. You've had the honor to hoist a gold glove a couple times in your life. You took a man that took pride in your defense. You know, we gave Harrison Bader some love last week, talking about the fact that it seems like every night this guy's going to do something amazing. It feels the same way right now with Colton Wong. Have you seen anything like this?
He wasn't a good defender before. I don't know if you guys remember that a couple of years ago. He was having trouble, and Okendo was having to deal with him, obviously, on the field, you know, stuff. But, man, did he make a jump. Holy crap. Something clicked in his head, which it could be work, you know, like he worked at it really hard. And made himself a freaking gold glove, because if you ask me, I know Javi Baez is pretty awesome, but Joe Madden putting him in third, short, and second is hurting him right now for the gold glove at second base. So I think if Javi wins, I'm okay. But it's Colton Wong. I mean, he's making a really good case. I'm not surprised that he's got this good. I was surprised that he was bad when I was there. You know, like he wasn't that good when I was there. That's what I was surprised more than this right here. I mean, he's making some great plays. Looks so easy right now. He's flowing it, man. And you know what, guys? He's been hitting the ball pretty good. He's been hitting the ball the other way, which I didn't see him do much, and we haven't seen him hit it much the other way. So he's doing it. He's getting better, man. I mean, I'm excited for him. I'm happy for him. He's one of the nicest guys you ever meet. So I'm really excited for him.
You know, the thing about it was, I mean, I remember when he was struggling a little bit defensively. It wasn't those types of plays. He would have, I mean, I, you know, again, some people, what do you, well, why has it got to be a mental error? But, I mean, it was just, they were silly errors. I mean, just, you know, and I don't know that I would even call them mental errors. I mean, I don't know if people could say, you know, well, you know, take a play for granted or whatever. But, you know, they were, am I wrong, Steve-O? I mean, we
no,
talked about it.
That's
they were,
exactly
they were
right.
Pretty routine plays that he would.
You just, you for whatever reason, you know, you call it a brain fart, you call it a mental error, you call it not having focus, your mind somewhere else. And that very well could be where, you know, he's thinking of the last at-bat or the, you know, whatever it might be, and just loses focus. And that happens a lot out there. And that's why, and I've always said this, Jim, that's what makes baseball so hard, is because you have to stay focused every pitch. Because even if the ball's not coming to you, it's not like basketball where you're in the game, or football where you have an actual physical contact that you're going to make, hockey, constant movement. Baseball is so hard because there's the mental part of it that you have to be focused every pitch.
I, you know, Benji, I've described the game of baseball to lots of people, and, like, you know, you have conversations about different sports, and I've described the game in this way to people. People talk about team sports and this and that. Yes, baseball is a team sport, but it's a team sport played by individuals that have to perform alone at every given moment of the game. I mean, there's nobody can help you when the ball's hit to you. Nobody can help you when you're in the batter's box. Nobody can help you. I mean, you're playing for a team, but it's a sport played by individuals that are performing individually. Now, you can talk about
the relationship,
you know, the relationship between catcher and pitcher. They're working together in tandem. I get that. You know, there's all types of plays that infielders make, and the first baseman saves their ass with a nice scoop or makes a play off the bag. And I know there's all that going on, but I think where Steve was going is when Colton Wong may have been struggling at the plate, or if he made one error that manifested into another. You know, he's standing out there alone, and sometimes mentally that takes a toll on you. You're a guy that prided yourself in being a really good defender, but you also, you know, you had some really nice, you know, you had some nice offensive seasons too. Is there a major correlation between the struggles in one and the other?
Oh my goodness, man! You couldn't be more right. I think. You said it perfect. I mean, you when you go out to play out there, unless you have men on base and stuff like that, you're absolutely by yourself out there, and you're trying to win a game or trying to get a double. You're trying to get a hit, get on base with a walk or whatever. I mean, a perfect example yesterday. I thought the Jones at bat with men on second with Jerko at second base when he couldn't get him over to third, I thought that was going to be a huge inning, and then we didn't end up scoring. It didn't hurt us because obviously he came up with the big home run later, but that tells you what you were saying about that. You go out there, you have a guy on, you got want to win the game. It's you against the pitcher. After that, it shows like you're playing for the team because obviously we all win. So I get that, but there's so many plays out there, like you said, man. I mean, a pick at first, a great play by Wong to save the game, or a running catch by Bader out there in the outfield that saved two runs. That's part of being a team. O'Neill running into Bader two times, catching the ball. I mean, that's awesome. You know, saved the team from that. So it's just part of it, man. I love it. I try to separate it, defense, offense, running bases. But my running bases was kind of out of whack a little bit. But the hitting and catching, man, that was my mentality. I said, when I'm catching, I want to throw zeros out there. I don't care who we're facing. And then when I'm hitting, I want to do the job. I waited to the end of the circle, and I waited to see what situation I was going to get into. Oh, no situations? Okay, I'm good. Let me get on base. Let me get a double. Let me find a ball I can drive. Things like that. So The game becomes you and the pitcher, but it's a team game, man, for sure.
Well, when a guy,
I mean, if you want to get the W's, it's what I mean, right? Like if you're the Tampa Bay, maybe not Tampa Bay right now, but if you're the Kansas City Royals right now, and you might not even shooting for the win, you might just want to get the heck out of there. You might just want to get out of the clubhouse and say, you know what, win or lose, let's go home, man. You know?
Yeah.
But right now we're trying to fight for the win, so it becomes a team, man, the whole team.
Yeah, you hear guys, you know, you've heard players in the past. I think I've even heard Colton Wong talk about this in the past. You know, when you're struggling on one side of the ball, so to speak, you know, you talk about that's a term you usually use for other sports, but it applies here. You know, I try not to let it affect my like if I'm struggling at the plate, I try not to let it affect my defense. If my defense isn't so good, I try not to let it affect. But it's a hard thing, right? And so I think that that's part of this equation that we don't give enough thought to. And again,
the sooner you separate them, the better you become. The better player you become, and the quicker you move up in the minor leagues. It's just very simple. Well, the quicker you separate those. If you take, like you were saying, and Steve-O was saying, if Colton Wong takes his at-bat to second base, he wasn't very good. He's not going to do very good. But guess what? As soon as he's blocked that out and he plays defense and then he goes hit, separate, I mean, he becomes a better player. I bet you anything.
Well, we saw it the other night with Tyler O'Neill. You know, not that he's had anything great, you know, prior to the home run last night that he was doing, but was he doing a little too much in the outfield to try to make up some of the lack of hitting? And maybe wasn't focused on listening to Harrison Bader and, hey, I'm going to make this play, and then he bobbled the one, hey, I got to go out and make this. You know, you try a little bit hard, you put a little bit too much pressure, and we said it as coaches all the time, Jim, even to, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old kids, hey, stay within yourself. Okay, do the things that you can do. Don't worry about all the other stuff out there that you can't control. All right?
Yeah.
Play within yourself.
Yeah, I would think it'd be a hard thing. That's definitely one of those things I think we'd all agree, and Benji, obviously you can speak to playing at the highest level, but I think playing at the highest level, that's an easier said than done thing. I mean, you think Colton Wong wants to not perform? That isn't even a Colton Wong thing. That's anybody. They all want to perform. But at the end of the day, you know what you can do. I don't know about you guys, but I think we all along saw the skill set that Colton Wong had. I think we said on this show numerous times, if Colton Wong can be Colton Wong, man, we have something that not a lot of teams would have. I mean, obviously we're seeing a superior defender. He's not even a great defender. He is a superior defender. I mean, I would be curious Benji's thoughts as to, it's one thing I never say never because you never know what they're going to do with the way they look at things these days. But I would think the Gold Glove is a foregone conclusion. I mean, they're talking about this guy winning a Platinum Award, which Yachty has won, and rightfully so. But, I mean, seriously, can you think of a better defender in the league this year on a consistent basis? I know Cardinal fans don't want to talk about Javi Baez. He is a great defender, whether you like it or not. He is a great defender.
The truth, man.
Yeah, Nolan Arenado.
It doesn't matter what he plays for.
Nolan Arenado, tremendous defender. Ozzie Albies, tremendous defender. There are some guys out there that are playing the game at a high level and making unbelievable play. But, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I watch SportsCenter. I check the ticker every day. I mean, I see great plays made from time to time. Nothing remotely close to the consistency of great plays turned in by Colton Wong. Now, let's also back it up with this. It's not just the close play. It's not just the great plays. He's making all the plays. He's making headsy plays. The double plays that he turns are unbelievable. So this guy is doing all of it and more. I will trust in the voters to make the right decision. But, you know, the reality of it is we're talking about an individual award, and we have a team right now that has climbed its way all the way back into contention for playoffs.
Hey, man, don't sit on it, though, Jimbo.
What's that?
Don't sit on it. Don't sit on the voters like you said, you know.
Well,
like
I know.
Hope that the voters get it right.
I know.
Oh, man, they get it wrong all the time. So don't sit on it. Look at last year. Who won the Gold Glove last year?
Well,
and you tell me he should have won it. Or well, the Silver Slugger or whatever. They don't never get it right.
Well,
man.
Here's what I'm going to say. Here's what I'm going to say about that, Benji, if you really think about it. They went with their quote-unquote numbers last year, okay? I mean, I don't know how you give it to a guy that didn't play as much or a guy that played first base multiple games, but they went, all they did was look at some number, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, look at the numbers. If you're going to look at numbers, it's not even close, is it? Colton Wong's your winner.
No, that doesn't work because if you look at numbers last year, the guy who plays the most should get the advantage on over the guy if it's close, right?
Well,
like
you would
if the guy that plays 90 or 100 games, it's out of. I mean, he never made an error, and he got the numbers that the guy who played a lot. I mean, I get that. That's fine. Give it to him. But if the guy who plays a lot always should have the more advantage. Like Buster Posey should never win. I shouldn't say should never, but shouldn't win a Gold Glove. And the reason being is he is a catcher that plays first base. So you're going to give a Gold Glove to this kid or the Silver Slugger. He won it last year. I want one guy to explain to me how he won it. Catchers, Silver Slugger. And we had this conversation before. I don't have to keep bringing it up, but it's just an example how they get it wrong all the time. You give Buster Posey the Silver Slugger, and he had half a less home runs, half a less RBI than the guys that should have been up there winning it. You know what I mean? Because he plays first. Those first base numbers don't count. It's a catcher's number. I've been there. I thought I won a couple Silver Slugger in my career. I never won it. Everybody told me I should have won it. Or when Yadi won the Gold Glove, and everybody said, oh, man, you should have won it. Or when Russell Martin, something like that.
Yeah,
the catcher from the Blue Jays won it. I should have won it because I have better numbers. And then and I played more. And then I have better numbers that captain guy in Biratek guy.
Yeah.
Even Biratek told me, it's like, man, BMO, they stole it from you. I'll take it, but they stole it, man. He told me the next year. So they never get it right, man. It's not always, I mean, I'm so disappointed at that, not for my end, but for everybody's end, man. You never know. Come on. You're going to give Buster Posey a Silver Slugger when he plays first two? Well, add up the catching number or Real Muto or Contreras. Or whoever, Yadi, whoever it is that's fighting for it, put him up there. Put him in the same category, and you'll find out who wins it. So for Colton Wong, you got to put him next to a freaking Javi Baez. Put him up there. And whoever have better numbers, then let him win it. But they get it wrong all the time, man. I'm telling you.
Well, we'll trust that they'll do it right this year, but not guarantee. Hopefully it works out. But, you know, in the end, you know, obviously our main concern is the St. Louis Cardinals. The fact that Colton Wong is playing as he is swinging the bat as well as he is a positive for the Cardinals. The fact that Harrison Bader is playing the way is positive for the Cardinals. Lots of great things happening. You know, last night's
how
game.
How about Flaherty, man?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to. I mean, what a pitcher's duel. Walker Buehler is obviously was a top-rated pitcher that moved up through the Dodger system. We knew how good he was going to be, and he's been a really good pitcher for them. But we know what we have in Jack Flaherty. That was just a straight-up ace-versus-ace type game, and who blinks first. He hung a slider that Jock Peterson deposited. And then
the only pitch that he can hit.
Yeah.
The only pitch he can hit, right down the middle.
And then
And he should.
Well – and then a guy that everybody was ready to hang up on the night before, Tyler O'Neill comes up and does what Tyler O'Neill does. And I mean to tell you, when he hit that ball, that's pure strength.
Man strength.
I didn't even think he was going anywhere, guys. I don't know about you guys, but I didn't think he was going out.
Let me tell you something. But Bemo, you played in L.A. I mean – that is, you don't see a lot of quote unquote bombs hit in LA. The ball just, that's a tough, you know, LA is a tough area to hit bombs in.
Anaheim, LA, San Diego, holy crap, the ball doesn't go anywhere, buddy. And if that guy hit it in the stands,
he hit it in the stands to right center.
That was a freaking bomb.
Did BMO just name every place he played?
Hey, oh, you can't hit in Texas, in Anaheim, in Toronto,
no,
in San Fran. Boy, that place, you can't hit a home run
wait
out there.
Minute. Hang on.
Wait. I want to answer that. Steve-O, I played in Anaheim. That ball, ask Pujols. He's a home run king, not me, of course. But I only hit 15 a year. But listen, that ball doesn't go anywhere, nowhere in Anaheim. And I played there, and I did okay. Then I went to Toronto. Oh, my goodness, I had so much fun in Toronto. 19 home runs in 90-plus games or whatever that was. I would have hit more than that. But anyway, that's a hitting field. I love that one. Then I went to San Francisco, freaking at Cisco. I mean, it was unbelievable how hard it is to hit a ball there. And I had my best seasons there in hitting, okay? Hitting home runs. I even hit 20 in that year, you know, one time. So, I mean, it was tough, too. It was tough to hit. Then I went to Texas. I'm like, man, this ball flies here. But I had my elbow that it was chipped, you know, from a foul tip. You know, I got a foul tip in my elbow and a left elbow. So I couldn't swing so much. So I didn't have too much fun only until the playoff came in, and then I had fun. But I did play in tough, tough fields, man, and I know how that feel. That L.A. field, the ball doesn't go anywhere. And these kids hit it way up there. I was like, holy crap, dude, a right-hander batter to hit it way up there. You don't see that often, guys.
Well, I can tell you that we've talked about this. You did have just an unreal career when it came to playing in a couple of tough places and hitting the ball, because they are notorious non-hitter stadiums. And that's the thing. You know, that's an example, though. I mean, you knew what your role was in the league. You were a defensive, let's face it, you won a couple gold gloves in the big leagues. But yet you went up there and you tried to do your job offensively, and you did your job offensively. You brought up last night's game, and, you know, Paul DeJong is an example of exactly what the game of baseball will do to you. I mean, earlier in the game, you're right, that was a big at-bat when he didn't move that runner over. You were sitting there looking at this game going, okay, we're going to look back on this game and the fact that we should have had first and third with nobody out and allowed Flaherty to bunt and bring up second and third with Carpenter up and allow him just to do something to the right side to get the run home. Didn't happen. Yarrow made a bad decision being aggressive, and, you know, they made the play. The strikeout by the pitcher then makes it two outs and a runner on third, and that doesn't go so well sometimes. And then, obviously, you look at the other way. But Paul DeJong gets an opportunity to move the runner over. Doesn't do it. We don't score. We don't get the run to the third base with one out. But then, as baseball does, you know, it puts the onus squarely back on him later in the game, and he comes through. And again, off a guy that I don't think has ever given up home runs in back-to-back games in his career. And that's Kenley Jansen, who's one of the best closers in baseball.
Yeah, but he's not the same guy this year,
no.
Guys. I mean, he's not throwing 98. He's not throwing 99. He's throwing 92, 93. I mean, that's very normal these days. You know what I'm saying? And not cutting as much. Remember he had that fastball that cut? It's not cutting, man. It's not cutting. That cheese up there, if it's not over 95, you're going to catch up to it and you're going to get do damage. And that's what he's going through right now, you know?
Yeah, I guess I'm of the belief that I'll take it.
I'll definitely take it.
I do want to say something about Yairo's single that he tried to make into a double, though.
Yeah.
If Justin Turner does not charge that throw from Puig, Yairo's safe, and so is Bader.
But
so
see,
really,
nobody is going to tell me that that's a bad decision.
Yeah.
No, that's not a bad decision.
I didn't think either.
It went up, right, Josh?
Yeah.
It went up in the air. And he read it, and he's like, okay, I got it. And he went over the cutoff, man. He went, took off. I mean, I don't see it a bad thing. The result was bad. We got an out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's a bad play. I think it's an aggressive play going wrong, you know?
Yeah, I would say I agree with you. I look at that play. It's all easier in hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at it now, and it's easy to say, well, yeah, but – I mean, you've got to be sure. Like, and that's what I would say there. You got to be sure only because you have the pitcher coming up. He's going to bunt. Okay, and if you don't make it, then again, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't thing. I get it.
But I just wanted to see where you guys.
It was a good play. I mean, but see, that's the thing. That's what being aggressive does. Being aggressive forces the other team to make a play.
And make
they made a play.
Yep.
I mean, it's pretty simple. But, you know, you can
look at it. As a manager, I want him to go.
Well, they've made the decision
to go.
Yep.
Well, let's face it. They have made the decision to be aggressive. Okay? That's what they've done. They've done it all year. So you can't you can't get upset when it doesn't work when it has been working. You just – I mean, you can't –
The only reason it didn't work, it was with what Josh just said, guys, because the Turner guy charged the ball, didn't wait for it to try to make it an out at third, and that they got it out at second. But if that guy stays back and try to make it out at the runner at third, he makes it. He goes to second. So I don't have any problem with that. I get what you're saying. It would have been good, too, I mean, obviously, if he stays. But I, if I'm a manager right now, if I'm chill, I'll go to him and say, hey, man, great freaking play. The other guy made a great play on you, and that's it. Let's go. Let's move on. Let's keep playing.
I want to look at a couple other things that have been going on with this team and you know, where we're headed. This is turning into, you know, this is going to be an unbelievable September of baseball for the St. Louis Cardinals. Before we do, we want to remind everybody, check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show there. Do your shopping at Amazon. Helps us with our producers, Brian Kroc and Andrew Allen. We appreciate all they do for us. Find us on social media, Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. If you're a Cardinal fan and follow us, we're going to follow you back because we're interested in what you have to say. Facebook, guys, we appreciate everything you guys are doing for us on Facebook. We're growing our audience there. Thank you so much. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat. We're going to do a contest here. We're going to put it together this week. But next week, the contest is going to revolve around you guys sharing our pinned post. After the show comes up, we'll tweet out that our new show is pinned on Facebook. That's going to give you the opportunity to go there and share it. Everybody that shares our pinned post will be eligible to win. And we're going to put a little package together and announce that on Monday. Find us on Instagram as well. That's Two Birds on a Bat Show there. We do run the Facebook group, Birds on a Bat. If you'd like to join that, you can do that as well. It's just fun to get people involved, especially right now. Everybody wants to talk Cardinal baseball, but we do appreciate everything. Find us at lineupmedia.fm, fastest growing podcast company on the planet. Check out Yo Radio, guys. It's the fastest growing internet radio station out there. They're taking it extremely seriously. They're building a quality product that's going to be a little bit different than the regular internet radio stations. Download it. That's Yo Radio. It is free. Leave them a review. There's a lot of guys here working really hard on that, and they're trying to come up with all the stuff that you guys want. If you follow them on Twitter and things like that, you can send them in suggestions. They're just doing nothing but trying to build a quality radio station. So again, that's Yo Radio. It is free. Download it from the App Store on your mobile device. To all of our partners, thank you so much for your continued support. Missouri Gators Baseball, that's MissouriGators.com. If you want to see if your son or daughter have what it takes, check them out. I love their four-pillar system. They're building quality individuals as well as quality baseball players. Congratulations to our own Josh Potter, who it was announced will be coaching a team for the Missouri Gators. Pretty interesting process for you. They vet their coaches quite well, do they not?
Oh, yeah.
They want quality people. They want guys that know the game of baseball. They want people that understand that they're also building people, not just athletes. And again, they got a little something for everybody over there, folks. You don't have to be the best player in the world to be a Missouri Gator. You can also find them in Illinois now, the Illinois Gators, and now they have the great Gators Baseball Academy for all of the high school players, especially the ones aspiring to continue to play at the next level. It's really important to get in with a quality baseball organization. We got a lot of people listening to this show whose sons or daughters play the game, and they're working on softball as well. Make sure you check them out. Again, to learn more about it, it's MissouriGators.com. I think you guys will be interested to learn more about that organization. Arlington Golf Course, I know Mark Marcuso, our man, is gearing up for the annual Calcutta there. Sold out in no time, as always. It's one of the best events there of the year. I talked to some guys that had a tournament there the other day. Nobody runs it better than Mark Marcuso, guys. If you're looking for a place to run and host your tournament, whether it be for fundraising, charity event, fun, whatever you want to do, nobody does it better than Mark. Check them out at Arlington Greens down in Granite City. It's also a great place to get away, play 9 holes or 18, and enjoy yourself. That's Mark Marcuso down in Granite City, Illinois. Had lunch, as I mentioned, with Randy Green from Innovative Companies at Adam's Smokehouse yesterday. Hey, I had the pulled rib sandwich yesterday. Hmm. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I didn't get that invite.
Let me tell you. Unbelievable. Anyway, I tell you what.
I didn't get that either.
You did, well, hey, that would have been a long drive for you, pal. That would have been a really long drive for you.
But I still would have got the email, you know.
Yeah. I hear it. Well, hey, listen, if you want to fly in, it would be worth a fly-in to eat at Adam's Smokehouse. But had a great conversation with Mike, the owner, and just a gracious dude. And Randy Green met me there. And like I said, man, they had the pulled rib sandwich yesterday. I had to have it, and it was tremendous. So, see, I'm branching out, Benji. I'm trying new things there, not just eating ribs all the time like you
still
like to
still the
on.
Ribs.
Yeah, well, I know. It's really good. Hey, so anyway, really enjoying it, and, you know, had a great time. Really appreciate all of our partners. Thank you for your continued support. It means a lot to us here at Two Birds on a Bat. Okay, guys, moving on. Question. Lots of things happening that are just, you know, you look at them and you think, holy cow. We got to talk about a couple things. Number one, first and foremost, Benji, you've squatted behind the dish, you know, your whole life. Man, that's got to be a scary thing when a ball comes off a bat and drills a pitcher. The reaction time, it amazes me that these guys even get a glove on some of these. And, you know, it happens occasionally. I don't know about you, man, but my heart, that was painful to watch.
Anytime something like that happens, it's painful, man. I mean, I've been Jimbo and Steve-O and Josh, man. I've been in so many close ones that they even hurt. That's how close I think the ball has gone through their faces before the pitcher reacts to it. That's the scary part. If that ball is like 1 inch to the other side, or 1 inch higher, or 2 inches higher, or whatever you want to call it, it hits their face, it breaks their face. The squall, you know, we've seen it with Ponce de Leon last year, what happens when the ball hits you in your head. But I've seen so many balls go so close to the pitchers, man, and that even hurt, you know, like, oh, my goodness. And then when the ball is in center field, they lift their glove like they're going to try to catch it. I'm like, dude, that ball is way out there, and you're trying to catch it right now? Are you kidding me? So, I mean, I've been in those, and it's no fun. They have no time to react, like you said. No time. So they're in trouble every single time. Remember, they pitch their how many pitches? 120 at times. Every one of those pitches can go right back at you at any moment. And for that not to happen that often, I mean that's amazing to me. But the ones, man, that I've been there so close, holy moly, man. They're way too close for me to take, man.
Well, that's the thing I was going to ask you. As a catcher, you know, that caught as many games as you did, does it surprise you it doesn't happen more often?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. I mean, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. I mean, you know how many line drives I've seen out the feet right next to them, and they don't even react to it. They don't know how to react to it. They, you know, you can see they just close their eyes because the ball's coming, try to put a glove on it. I've seen it so many times, but I'm glad that it doesn't happen that often. I'm glad that baseball doesn't have to go through that, you know, to pitching with the mask on or pitching with something like that. I'm glad they don't have to do that. But, man, it could happen after those 150, 170 pitches a night. It could happen at any moment, man. And we just pray that it doesn't, right? I mean, we pray that it doesn't happen to anybody.
Just such a tough thing to watch. I mean,
I've been in a couple of them, guys. I've been in the one of Martinez. I don't know if you remember Martinez, a pitcher, obviously, for the Giants. And then Mike Cameron hit him in the head, man. He broke his skull. I've been in a couple of them when they get hit, man. It's very scary. They start bleeding from the ears. They start bleeding from the nose and the mouth, and you don't even know what the heck is happening, you know, because you're no doctor, so you don't know. Is this guy dying? Is this guy good? I mean, he's going to be fine or what? What's going on here? Oh, man, but it's so scary. And I mean, I really, really, really scary, man.
Well, that was, you know, that was one thing. The other thing was the interesting, we were all, you know, we've got our little text group that we, you know, we go when we watch games.
I want to say something real quick.
Go ahead.
Jimbo.
Yeah, go ahead.
We have to give we have to give kudos to Yadi, man. I know he's my brother, and people are going to say, oh, yeah, because he's your brother. But Yadi is catching his freaking life out, man. I watched the game, and the way he controls the pitching, the way – and I had this conversation with him, but I can't say what he told me on the air. But we were talking about how young these guys are and how you know, inexperienced they are, but how good and talented they are. And he's just trying to take an advantage of them. He just – but don't you think Yadi's catching a freaking – I mean, those guys are amazing throwing the Yadi. They love Yadi. They get together. And then Peña comes in and throws a gem out there. That's how tight these guys are, man. They're together. They're fighting out there together. But I just wanted to mention a little bit about Yadi because I know he's struggling right now in the plate. And he actually hit a home run yesterday. But you can see overall he's a little worried about, you know, hitting. Right now, but he'll get it back. He's a professional hitter. He'll get it back. But I'm saying, like, he's catching his life out, man. I don't know if you guys noticed that or not, but, I mean, I know he makes it easy. He makes it look easy, but me as a catcher, it's not easy to call a game on a young guy. And he's making them look like Cy Youngs right now, man. I mean, it's amazing to watch.
Well, even that one that bounced up and got off his catcher's mask and started rolling over towards the dugout, and he's sprinting after it thinking it's dropped third strike, and, you know, it wasn't. But, you know, just seeing that little bit of hustle out of him, I mean, even with as many games in a row as he caught, I know he had an off day, but, you know, still, yeah, he's doing an unbelievable job as always back there.
You know, BMO, I don't want to bore the listeners out there, but, I mean, catching's the one – probably pitching. I don't have a ton of experience in there. The last time I was behind a plate catching, I broke a collarbone. And so I said, I'll never go back there again. But
they only make a few guys tough.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you the story someday. You'll be proud of me. But anyway, you know, and I pointed this out. I was at the game with somebody, and I pointed out all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes from an infielder standpoint or an outfielder standpoint. But what are some of the things that you're talking about? I know you're saying he's catching his ass off and doing and calling a great game. What are some of the things that we can watch when we're watching a game on TV that's a difference maker on what Yachty's doing? Is there anything that we can see?
Well, actually, I see the game different from many people. Of course, they're not catchers, so my game is a little bit different. Why did he throw this pitch? Because the next two pitches are going to be where? This side. Or why did he throw inside? Because he wanted to get him out of the way. Why did he throw away? Because he wanted to get him inside. Why did he get him out with the slider, and the next at bat he get him out with the fastball? So the third at bat he doesn't know what the heck is coming because he already got beat different ways. The way he controls the game, the way he walked a guy by not giving the four fingers, you know, he walks away. Okay, you want to pitch to this guy? I don't like this guy against my guy. I'm going to try to work his way up. And if he walks, and I get the right guy up and get him out. All these little things he's doing, obviously, the catching. He haven't had to throw to second base yet in a while, but the blocking balls and keeping guys from advancing 90 feet, that I know the people that play baseball understand so perfectly how that helps you, man, to keep another team from going 90 feet. It's however you can. I'm talking not only catching, but, man, you know, keeping those guys from advancing the extra 90 feet saves some games. I mean, these guys, and obviously the way he's calling the game, the way he's making these guys look, Ponce de Leon, man, I mean, the way he shows, he can pitch, man. He has an attitude on him. Gomber, he has a freaking attitude on the mound. I mean, these guys, look at Flaherty. I mean, they look at you and it's like, man, you're done. I'm coming after you, buddy. I mean, but he needs that second part. He needs that catcher to guide him a little bit. And I know they got the skills to pitch, but he needs that guy to guide him and the veteran. And they're so lucky to have him behind the plate because Yadi has a lot of miles. He has a lot of miles of experience, and he can guide him. But those are the little things that Yadi do. Watch the game every pitch. I know the fans only watch what happens, of strikeout or a fly ball or whatever. I watched the game, how he sets up, when he sets up late to some guy. He goes to a count on men on second. He goes to pump some men on second. I mean, I watch for every little thing out there. And Yadi's doing a great job, man. And he's not—he's my brother, and I know people are going to say, oh, man, it's because he's your brother. But if anybody would have been doing a great job like him, I would have said the same thing. So I think he's doing so awesome behind the plate with these young guys. And believe me, guys, it's not easy to have a young guy, especially when they're that talented as the guys we have. It's fun to watch. I love Ponce de Leon. I love Flaherty. I love Gumber. I love these guys that come up and Hudson. Hudson haven't had a chance to start, but I mean, he's electric, man, 96, 97 miles an hour. I mean, these guys have a bright, bright freaking future, man. But I just wanted to mention that. And, I mean, I just watched the game a little different, you know, how Yadi sets up. Watch where Yadi puts the glove. I mean, a lot of catchers go out there, and they just put the glove out there, you know, like in the middle of the plate and let the ball, or in the corner. Yadi plays with the pitchers. He's telling the pitcher with the glove, I want it right here. I want it right here. And that's very, very important for a catcher. Point that glove where you want it and then go back to where you want a pitcher to start the pitch. Like if you want the pitcher to start a pitch in the middle, but then you put the glove at Yadi's right knee at the bottom of the zone, that's the vision that the pitcher have. And I bet you anything, they love that. They love it.
Yeah, you know, there's been so many things that if you love to watch baseball, there's been great things. There's been odd things. I mean, I wanted like the thing that went on with Tyler O'Neill the other night. That's a weird thing. And I know some people think he, you know, what is he doing? I tried to explain it on Twitter. The only thing I can explain is I, you know, like I said, if two guys are calling for a ball and you're running, sometimes you don't hear, you know,
you can't hear Jimbo. You can't hear. I was going to say that when you tweeted that thing. I was going to call you or text you. There's 55,000 freaking people yelling. And there's no way. The only thing Bader should have done better is keep yelling, I got it, until he got close to him. He said, I got it really early and then went for the ball. No, you keep saying, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it, until you get close to him because you can't hear anything. Let me tell you this. I was a catcher. And when these 55,000 people were there, I couldn't hear Bruce Bochy, I couldn't hear Socha calling me for a sign. That's how bad it is. Imagine in the outfield. That's crazy. That's the only thing Bader should have done, just keep calling it, you know, keep calling it until you get close to the guy, he can hear you. But if you call it early and you drop it and you don't call it anymore, it's trouble, man. It's going to happen every time. So I'm sure Willie McGee probably told him what to do and how to do it and all that. I mean, they're already probably talking about it. But that's what I wanted to tell you. That's what happens.
Yeah, I mean, like one guy would sent me something and said, well, didn't you see him like hold his glove up? And I'm like, he's not looking at him when he's running. He's running, tracking the ball and listening. And, well, Derek Gould said he could hear him in the press box say he's got it. And I'm like, I that's fine. If the other guy is yelling he has it as well, I've done it. It's happened to me. I mean, and believe me, not in a stadium with 40,000 people in it. I'm talking at a baseball game in college with about 15 people there watching. Two guys running after a ball, both yelling, I got it. And the other one, I mean, I don't know how to explain it.
How easy it is always for people that don't play the game. It's so easy to come up with something like that. You know, like D-Gold say, oh, I heard him over there. Oh, crap, man. You didn't hear nothing. You might have heard him at the beginning. You don't know anything.
That was
– oh, you're right.
No, he heard somebody at the hot dog line say, I got one.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Or at the Philly cheesesteak they close out on you.
You know I was disgruntled when I got up there. There was no Philly cheesesteaks.
Hey, we got to go to the Philly cheesesteak. Come on, man. We have to.
Absolutely.
You know, that was interesting. Interesting play,
hey, how
for
about
sure.
My Adams, man?
Yeah. Didn't get his chance to bat last night, but this is going to be, listen, this is going to be interesting. But you kind of touched on the last thing I wanted to cover, and that was the little bit of the attitude from the pitchers. You know, we saw the, You know, I like the whole fiery Chris Carpenter style. You know, people want everybody to do that. That's not something you can fake. You either truly are that way or you're not. But, you know, I like
it. Have you seen Mike Myers?
Yeah, I like it, right? Like, I love when they truly want to compete. Now, I did think what I thought of all of it that went on, I thought the coolest thing I saw in the whole deal was Jose Martinez come up on the foul ball call. Was Jose Martinez come up and put his hand on him and kind of be like, you got to calm down. Because it wasn't just that play. Ponce de Leon was rolling all night long with emotion. And emotion's a great thing. You know what I'm saying? If you can use it for positively, I guess would be the description. It's a great thing.
He's been using it positively, right?
Yeah. I he had a couple things and even talked about after the game that he probably did some things he maybe shouldn't have that might have been viewed as disrespectful. I mean, I even know Dozier kind of looked at him and was like, what are you yelling at me for? I didn't make the call, you know. But it happens.
I'd rather have that than the
right.
other way.
I would too. I be aggressive and ask for forgiveness later has always been my mantra. But
yeah.
But that being said, I get it. You know, he wants to make sure that he doesn't break one of those unwritten rules of baseball that people don't seem to like or understand or care about. I don't care what. Listen, it's not for me to say. I don't care where you fall into it. The bottom line is, it's the players' game, and they have them, and they understand them. But the truth is, that was an interesting call too. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but on the last replay, the ball was foul. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. The ball was foul. You know, you can sit here and say, well, the home plate umpire is supposed to make that call. I don't know if the third base umpire interjected in because as soon as the play was made, did they think the home plate umpire had a bad view because of the runner coming down? I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I didn't ask.
Yeah.
But that would be my guess.
The only way that they interfere is when you don't have a good view. That's the only way.
You know,
they always tell us. Because we as catcher, we tell him, hey, man, you got that foul. Hey, why didn't you call it? So that's not my ball. My ball is from the base to the home plate, from the base to the outfield. It's that guy's it's the other guy's. But if that guy's blocked by the runner or something, obviously it becomes the home plate umpire's ball. But yeah, you're right. You're right, Jimbo. That's probably what happened.
I mean, that's the only thing I could – I mean, when I looked at it, I thought – or it was one of two things for me. Either, you know, these umpires, you know, they're no different than players. They have to act accordingly sometimes when things get thrown at them that are a little bit different than the norm. And, again, if you watch the replay, I don't
and
know if the third –
replays either.
Yeah, and I don't know if the umpire thought the way the guy's breaking off at third base, the home plate umpire's never going to see this, so he called it. Or it was so – or it's like, man, I mean, who cares? It's foul. I don't know. I have no idea. But at first, I thought the same thing, that it was really close. I thought on the last replay, it clearly showed that it was foul ball. And, you know, I'm sure the third base umpire was like, well, I don't care whose call it is. It was foul. I don't know. I have no idea. Like I said, I know that there's a right way to do things, and then they adjust based on the way the game flows. I mean, you see the home plate
yep.
umpire come around and cover third base on certain plays, and you know, they adjust and do what they're supposed to do. In the end, listen, we can talk about
– they got the call right.
That's right. And in the end, we can talk about 1,000 different things. But the reality of it is this Cardinal team is rolling. They head into Colorado. It's going to be exciting.
So
I don't know.
Did you see Mike Myers?
Yeah.
What I mean is when we were doing the game against Milwaukee, you remember Arcia, the shortstop for the Milwaukee Brewers?
Yeah.
He, you know how wild he is with his swings, you know? He swings so hard. And Myers, he got a foul ball, and Myers air at the guy. I haven't seen that in a while, guys. Haven't seen that. The pitcher went over. He got a foul ball. But he swung out of his butt, and Myers just stared at him. After the foul ball, he didn't even notice that the hitter didn't notice. And where was that next pitch? Right at his face. Right at his face. And then he stared at him again, like saying, "What the hell are you doing, swinging like that on me? You know, what the hell? Let's go." That type of attitude I haven't seen in a while. And Ponce de Leon have it. Myers have it. Gumber have it. I mean, there's guys that we have, clearly have it, that attitude. And that's great to have, man. Look at what the results are, and you will see. That's what I wanted to say just real quick, because I thought it was very interesting when I saw that, that I haven't seen in a while. When I caught Kane, Lincecum, even Sanchez, I mean, all those guys, they had the attitude, dude. If you swing hard out of your butt, you're going to hit the deck, man, because they're like, oh, you swing hard, I'm pitching here, buddy. I just wanted to mention that. That's all.
Yeah, I think there's a, you know, I think
Hey, Josh, don't be teaching that, okay, to those kids.
Oh, no. I might get some lip from some parents.
No, don't teach that. I'm just saying, in the big league, you have to have an attitude. It's oh, yeah. Man against man, bro.
Yeah.
Man against man, and you throw at me inside. It's the same like they did to Martinez. Did you notice yesterday? They threw one at his face, but Martinez took a swing, and if he hit a foul ball, and he looked at the pitcher, Buehler or whatever his name is. He looked at the pitcher like saying, ooh, I almost got you, right? And the pitcher next pitch, what was it? He almost hit the deck right to his face, and the pitcher stared at him. And then Martinez walked back like funny to the plate and hit again, you know what I mean? That at bat. And it was attitude. It's man against man, bro. That's what it is. And if you don't have that attitude, they'll step on you. And if you have the attitude, you will step on them. That's very simple.
You know, this has been, it's been, listen, in the end, we're all fans. This has been a lot of fun to watch. You know what I mean? Nothing is more exciting right now for me than watching a Cardinal game every night. I thought Chris Lawless, I know, Steve, if I'm not mistaken, you're going on their show.
Tonight.
Yeah. I thought he brought up something the other day that was amazing. I got to tell you the truth. I like everybody else. Like most people, I was ready for Mike Matheny to go. It was time, no doubt about it. I have my thoughts on record as I don't think everything was his fault. I don't think he was the biggest problem. They had a lot of problems, and they've corrected a bunch of them. Mike Schilt's doing a tremendous job. They revamped the bullpen. They got rid of a couple guys. They brought up some young guys. They have a renewed energy. This is all working great. I got to tell you. And I agree with Chris Lawless. I am tired of hearing about Mike Matheny. I'm tired of hearing it. To be quite honest with you, I'm tired of hearing about it from Bernie. And I got to tell you another thing. I'm tired of hearing it from Dan. And I love Dan. But he brings up something.
But maybe because they love Matheny so much. That's why they keep bringing it up, right?
Well, they ain't bringing it up like that. I mean, they're bringing it up in a derogatory light. Listen, I don't care. All I care about is this team. When Mike Matheny was here, it was a roller coaster ride. It wasn't good. I want to enjoy this, okay? I don't need all that. What I want to do is I want to enjoy this ride. And it has been nothing short of amazing lately, for sure. We've gotten off the roller coaster, so to speak, right? We're playing good baseball. I'm ready to go. September's going to be amazing. I'm just going to let all the fans know that we will be back at Patio's in September. Back at Patio's.
Wow, all right.
All right, beginning next Friday, okay? I believe 4 o'clock, you'll be able to see Benji come over to ask some questions. We're going to be set up. They promised we're going to work on the sound so that people can show up. They can hear the questions. We can you know, get through the audience, and we can do some really great things. So I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. I want to thank our friends at Patio's for bringing us back. And hopefully that leads us into the playoffs, where things are going to get really nutty. Steve, I got to tell you, and I've talked about it, there's nothing better than a baseball game in St. Louis in October. Hopefully you and I are back in my familiar Budweiser seats.
Oh, man.
And ready to roll.
And if the Philly cheesesteak stand is open and flowing, and I got me an ice-cold Coca-Cola, I'm in good shape.
Hold on.
Can I complain a little bit?
Well, I mean. No.
So I get 4 tickets. I got to complain.
Oh, geez. Okay.
I get 4 tickets to next Wednesday night's game.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
The 29th against the Pirates.
Okay.
Why do you think I got 4 tickets to that game? It's Ozzie Smith bobblehead night.
Oh, okay. I don't
and know now why. All of a sudden you got to have some separate voucher.
Well, that's a theme
I don't even
night.
Have it.
That's a theme night.
It's a theme night that they jack. Why don't you just sell the goddamn things at the stand so I can buy it?
Well, because.
So I got four tickets. I don't have the vouchers. So I got no Ozzie Smith bobblehead.
Don't you know somebody that might be able to get one for you?
I got nobody. Hey, Cardinal Nation, friends of the show, I need an Ozzie Smith Game of Thrones bobblehead. Save one for me. That's my plea. I don't know why they're charging.
Are they out of tickets?
No, I think you can still buy them.
Well, then buy one.
I got four already.
You have to buy a special ticket. That's what it is.
So basically, you'd have to sell your four now?
No. Yeah,
and then buy new
Just
four
buy
new
one
ones.
Ticket and get your bobblehead. What's the problem? They mail it to you. You don't even pick it up there.
What?
Yes. I'm pretty sure.
No, I don't think so.
I'll just
pick it up. No. You gotta buy a special ticket. You go to stlouiscardinals.com/promotions or something like that or whatever it is. And you buy a special ticket, and they, when you go in, they send you to this place. It's in the terrace or something.
Yeah, the Budweiser terrace.
Yeah, you go up and they give you your thing out there with a special ticket. So
look at you, man.
He knows
listen
all.
Listen to
so,
him.
But the deal
He's
is,
listen to him. He works for the Cardinals. He's got it down. We need to cut that clip and send it over to him and say, "Look what your man Benji's doing for you." See, hey, earning his keep.
But this is a deal. I got tickets. I call my buddy who's a season ticket holder. I said, "Hey, I need four tickets. I'm going to take the family to the game. I need your four tickets."
Take
this is like a month ago.
Take the family, but buy one more ticket. What is the problem? This is not complicated.
Hey, Cardinal Nation, friends of the show, somebody's going to have a bobblehead for me.
Yeah, and they're going to put it on eBay and sell it. Okay, that's what they're going to do.
Somebody's going to give me one.
Go get you a ticket, bro.
Jesus.
Go get you a ticket, man.
I don't think
and
this is much.
Your bobblehead.
Then I might not be able to buy the cheesesteak.
Benji, I don't think this is much of a. He wanted to complain. I don't think this is much of a complaint. I'm being honest.
That's not a complaint. What Jimbo does on the show is a complaint. But that's not a complaint.
Oh, man.
I had to find something to complain about.
My bad, Jimbo.
You're good.
You don't complain. Lately, you haven't.
Listen, I call it like I see it.
Winning cures everything.
It's not even just winning. Even if they were winning and somebody was doing something that deserved a bitch session, I'd give it to you. But right now, I mean, even the stuff that some people are complaining about, like the Tyler O'Neill thing the other night, that's not something to lose your mind and complain about. That happens within the game of baseball. It happens. I'm not going to – that guy – people wanted to send him down. They want to crucify him. He's going to kill somebody. No, he's not. Okay, relax. Shit happens in the game of baseball. This isn't – like I said, it's either what I said happened or he's ignoring him. Now, what's more logical? Do you think Tyler O'Neill is ignoring Harrison Bader? He's a ball hog. Come on, this guy's a professional baseball player. He's a rookie trying to play. There is logical explanations for things sometimes. It isn't always a big controversy sometimes. Things happen out there. It's a game played by men, and they make decisions in a split second, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. And right now, I got nothing to complain. They are playing well. They're playing hard.
Then let's complain about me not having a bobblehead ticket.
I'm going to complain about you complaining about not having a bobblehead ticket. How about that, BMO? I like that one better.
BMO, they're like children over here, man. You need to help me out.
Hey, because listen. But see, this goes to the point, though.
Hey, so
this is all we have right now.
It's bobbleheads.
That's all we have.
I mean,
everything right now is coming up roses.
It's bad enough I didn't get my picture with the Wookiee on Star Wars night.
Oh,
you're telling me I can't sit in the throne and get my bobblehead on Game of Thrones night?
Buy a ticket, and this conversation is over.
You went long on this show, by the way.
I know. Listen, we got to figure out. I don't know what we're going
to
do.
It is impossible to do a – listen, we might do a 46-minute show.
We're going to have to do the
in
92.
The offseason.
No, I think we're going to have to do the 92. Because there's just too
is
much –
is that what it is, 92?
It's either 46 or 92 going forward as you'll
radio 92.
Gets built in. We're going to have to do it. So, I don't know. There's too much to talk about. Hey, listen, there's just –
if we make the playoffs, there's no way we can do it in 46 minutes.
Yeah, you are correct.
Well, hey, listen, enjoyed the show, fellas. Looking forward to seeing our man back next week when Benji comes to town. Looking forward to all of our friends joining us at Patio's. We're gonna do this thing upright as the Cardinals get rolling here. Again, I know Benji loves the interaction with the crowd, and we encourage everybody to come down and come on up and say hello, take pictures, ask your questions. I mean, there's so much great to talk about now with the Cardinals. So we're looking forward to that continuing with Patios, and we do want to thank them. As always, want to thank everybody for their continued support, innovativecompanies.com. All four arms underneath that umbrella now, construction, heating and cooling, electric, and now the plumbing team. 35 years experience, second-generation Craftsman. That's our man, Randy Green. Arlington Golf Course, Mark Marcuso, thank you for your support. Don't forget to check them out down in Granite City, the hidden jewel over there. That's Mark Marcuso and the crew down at Arlington Greens. Get down there and play the course today. Adam Smokehouse, thank you for your continued support and your hospitality yesterday. I'm going to tell you, I just realized they do specials. Okay, I went down there originally to get the brisket burger and got the pulled pork sandwich. Unbelievable. Try something different when you go down there. You're going to love it. Hey, Randy had the salami sandwich. Unbelievable. Unbelievable how good it was. Missouri Gators baseball, MissouriGators.com. Don't forget to give them an opportunity if you're trying to find out if your son or daughter has what it takes to play baseball in a quality organization that develops the person as much as the athlete. I love their four-pillar system. Again, they've kind of broken that barrier now and gotten over into Illinois. I mean, we got a lot of listeners in Illinois, a lot of great baseball in Illinois. They got Missouri Gators, Illinois Gators, and now, of course, the Gators Baseball Academy for all the high school players, which I know, Josh, you're going to be working in that age range, helping these young men try to achieve their dream of playing baseball in college. And good luck to you and good luck to the Gators. They got a quality individual in you for sure. And that's what that's why they're a great organization, folks. They are interested in hiring quality people. So give them an opportunity and find out how you sit. Great stuff as always, guys. Love doing the show with you guys. Love the interaction we're getting from everybody on Facebook. One last time, thanks to our Facebook cohorts, Nate McHenry with RallySquirrel.com, the great Facebook page, and obviously we're a member of the Rally Squirrel Club. If you want to learn more about that,
and Nate wants to be back on the bus.
I know, I saw that. Nate wants on the bus. I did see that. Host of the Rally Squirrel Club and the Rally Squirrel Report. If you want to learn more about that, go to RallySquirrel.com. Chris Lawless, I mentioned him earlier. Steve-O's going to be on their show tonight, Cardinals 24/7. Check it out. Good stuff. I think you guys are going to love it. Again, Chris Lawless does a tremendous job. He and Ron with Team of Rivals podcast. That Cards Cubs thing is going to do nothing but heat up. Did you guys see that already? Last series of the year is three games at Wrigley Field. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if that's for all the marbles for the division? That place will be pandemonium. We may have to call in some favors with Benji and get some tickets and head to Chicago.
Hey, guys, I said it. I don't want to jinx it like Steve will tell me all the time, but I told everybody last year they freaking celebrated in our field and planted that white freaking flag all over our field when they clinched or something. We need to do that this year. That would be like a dream for all the St. Louis fans, you know.
That would be awesome.
Cardinal
that I didn't even think about that. That would be awesome.
Absolutely.
Win it on their field the last weekend of the season and take pictures out on their field. Man, that would be awesome. Good call, Benji.
We got that. We got the 2019 schedule came out. We got a couple games down in Monterrey, Mexico.
Hey, get your passport, guys. Let's go.
Get your popcorn ready.
We're doing the show in Espanol.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I gotta start.
Here we go.
Man, we gotta learn our Spanish.
Two gringos on a bat.
I got nothing to worry about in Spanish. I'm worried about you guys in Spanish, but I'm okay, man. I'm doing it.
Two gringos and a pro. How about that? Something like that. We could start something like that. But hey, it's going to be a lot of fun. There are fans of Yadier Molina. Man, that Facebook group, our last post. I've never seen a group blow up on a post so much. Thank you for that, everybody in that group. St. Louis Cardinals crew, you guys as well. I'm telling you, you guys, they rocked on this last one. We're going to keep trying to break records, and you guys are the ones that are making it happen. Thank you so much. Again, look for that new contest next week. We're going to get it rolling. Our producers, Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, thank you. LineupMedia.fm, thank you. Don't forget to go out and download Yo Radio, the wonderful internet radio station that's free. Growing every day, new stations coming on board. They let you tell them what you want to hear. They're making stations based off recommendations right now. That's Yo Radio. Download it in the App Store. Again, special thanks to all of our listeners out there for making us who we are. We're a loving Cardinal group here. Everybody's on that bandwagon. No complaining. Just loving the air, folks. Loving the air. Cardinal baseball. See you later. Let's go, Birds.
Go, Birds.
Go, Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.